I did something this week that I almost never do. I got done with my sermon early in the week. And then I kept thinking about it. I said, this just isn't what it ought to be. And it just worked in me. So finally, Saturday afternoon, I sat down and I rewrote the whole thing. The title is the same, and the text is the same. And quite frankly, the message is the same. Lessons for living. Jesus spent his whole life trying to teach us lessons on how to live. And so when you think about how we live our lives, at least for me, I start to see the things how we shouldn't live our lives. And I'll confess, I'm going to talk about some of those things. But the reason that we live in ways that we ought not, I think, is because we don't understand, nor do we want to accept or believe that there's a more viable way. Now, maybe we know in our head that there is, but we really don't believe it. That's not for me. And so I read through, I had the whole sermon done. And I read through it several times. And it was so negative because I got caught up in all the awful things that are happening around us in our society. And I thought, you know, there's going to be some people there that are going to not hear what I have to say because they're going to feel that I'm pointing right at them. And they're going to see that, and they're going to say, I'm not going to listen. I think each one of us, in some ways, is that way. And so if I come down a little too hard, I don't want to turn you off, but nor do I want to shy away from important lessons that we have to learn and live by. The text this morning comes from Luke 6. I'm going to start at the 17th verse and read through the 42nd. It's on page 1020 in your pew Bibles. The same story, or at least a similar event, is also found in Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7, actually three chapters. Much more detailed. We call that the Sermon on the Mount. But the message that Jesus is putting forth, whether these are two separate incidents or different versions of the same one, the message is still the same. And it's a message that Jesus brought throughout his ministry. Starting at the 17th verse of Luke 6. He, that's Jesus, went with them, that's his disciples and all the people that were following him, and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Geography lesson. There's Palestine and the surrounding area. You can see Jerusalem, that's down in the area of Judea. Up on the coast up there, you can see Tyre and Sidon. Land that part of the time was Israel, part of the time belonged to the Syrians, and the Assyrians and other people. People all came together from all over to hear what Jesus had to say. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. And looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that's how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that's how their ancestors treated false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those that are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable. "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." This is the word of God. Praise be to God. Jesus started out laying out the probability that life can and does change. He comforts those who find it tough, and he warns those that take their blessings and their advantages for granted. Those wealthy people can lose everything. And he also warns that there's a lot of precedent where people have gained their wealth and their respect by doing what's wrong, dishonest and godless ways. And many of the people that have supported them in their ill-gotten power have been recognized later on for the evil that they are. And Jesus goes on then to describe a different perspective on life. A perspective that doesn't fit with the way we see our history, nor does it fit with the logic that we have in our own minds. It's so different that many times, probably most of the time, we dismiss Jesus' ideas and say, "No, that can't work." Predominantly because we don't see it working. And the reason we don't see it working, there are two reasons. One is that we don't give it a chance to work, and the other is we're not listening. So I want to point out some of the things that are really quite obvious to us, but we don't see them. We don't adopt them into our own lives because in our minds we say it just won't work. Verse 31 is commonly recognized as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's one of the five rules that we've been trying to teach the kids. They're posted around the building here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love them. If you want to be loved, love somebody else. Would you like people to be generous to you? Be generous to other people. Do you want people to respect you? Respect others. Be respectable. You know, a lot of the reason that our children don't respect their elders is because their elders are not respectable. So it starts with doing the right thing. We change ourselves. If you want somebody to listen to you, then you listen to them. How many times have you heard somebody say, so-and-so's a good listener? Well, maybe they couldn't get a word in edgewise. But the point is, they shut up and let you talk. I've had people tell me, I'm a really good preacher. And then I think, wait a minute, they never heard me preach. Because they're busy listening to themselves and say, this is a fine thing to say. So listen to what the other person has to say. Initiate the good behavior. And you say, wait a minute, I'm not sure that's going to work. Well, let me go to the other side of it and prove that it works. What happens if you walk towards somebody and they don't step out of the way and you bump them on purpose? Do they say, well, thank you, I enjoyed that? Not very likely. Depending on who it is, they might ignore it, or they might turn around and say, why did you do that? Or they might even haul off and knock you flat. The point is, when you do something, there's going to be a response. And very often, the response is escalated. What happens as you're driving down the road and you perceive that somebody did something wrong to you? I don't know that they necessarily did, but your perception is that they did. What do you do? Well, very often, okay, you were just fine 2 minutes ago. Now you're angry. And with some people, then they get them back. Even to the point where we call it road rage, where they pull out a gun and shoot, or they run into them with their vehicle, or any number of things. The action precipitated a response that escalated. That's our nature. Look at kids. You see two little kids playing together. And the one says, I want your teddy bear. No, you can't have it. Now, is it their teddy bear? No, it's not. But what happens? That one wants it, pushes this one over, and grabs it. Now, if this one is little and can't handle it, she'll go crying off to mother. And that maybe is the end of it. I don't know. But If they're not going to just sit over and let it happen, what happens? This one comes back with double fury. The response is escalated. So we know that that's human nature. So what now happens when somebody is treated well? Let me tell you, folks, it happens the same way. You treat them well, and they treat you well. And actually, they very often feel indebted to you, so they treat you well again and again. Now, of course, our nature is to be selfish, so if you go about this treating people well just so that they treat you better, that kind of defeats the purpose. But nonetheless, it's human nature. And Jesus, God, created humans. He knew what he was going about. He knew why he made us the way he did. And when Jesus came, he said, "Now look, I'm trying to teach you how to behave. Interpersonal relationships. Let me reveal to you how I made you." And so Jesus spent his whole career trying to get us to understand that there is a better way. Verse 37 is probably a little better translation of a principle that many of us misunderstand. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Now, there are a lot of people that mistakenly think that the biblical concept here is don't judge. If you believe that, let me tell you, you're sadly mistaken. That's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches you need to make good judgments all the time. And some of you are responsible for making judgments that have public ramifications. Nowhere does the Bible teach us that we're never supposed to make judgments. And here it says a better way. Do not judge and you won't be judged. That's simple human relationship, you see. If you judge somebody, they're going to judge you back. They're going to measure you by those same standards. If you condemn somebody, they're going to condemn you back because they're measuring you by the same standards. And remember, human nature is to escalate. And so if you don't treat somebody judgmentally, they probably don't treat you that way either. And if you don't go out and condemn people openly, they're not going to condemn you openly. You see, we're built to work with each other, and it's our nature to do one better or one worse. Whatever it is, we escalate. That's human nature. And Jesus recognized that. Verse 38. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap." Jesus was no dummy. He says, here it is. That's human nature. So now, let's talk about the application of these principles. And one of the major problems that we recognize in our society. We've got billboards and we've got TV ads that say we've got to do something about bullies. And I want to remind you that bullies are made. They are trained up to be bullies. And you know, we want to grab them by the throat and just throttle them sometimes. And I suppose that's one way to cure a bully. Matter of fact, I have seen it happen where the best thing that ever happened to one of these kids was to get the deity's knocked out of him, or into him, whatever. Once in a while that works. But the best way to not have a bully is to not let them grow that way. And who is responsible for not letting them grow that way? The people that raised them. Their parents, their uncles and aunts, their grandparents, their teachers, everybody who has something to say about how they live. And you see, a bully is just one of those people that always escalates the situation, and it's always in a negative way. And they always take advantage where there's an advantage, and they always disappear when there's no advantage. Do you ever see somebody like this bullying somebody like this in a physical way? Not too likely. It's always, if it's the little one, they're not using it in a physical way. They do it, here's the best example I know. Go to the supermarket and watch the adults walking through the checkout counter who are being intimidated by a 1 or 2 year old who's carrying on. That 1 or 2 year old knows that they have power over mom and dad by making noise. Because mom always capitulates. Now, it may mean that it takes 5 minutes of this, but you see, they learn that it takes 5 minutes because first it only took 30 seconds. And then when that didn't work anymore, they pushed a little longer until it worked. And then they pushed a little longer until it worked. And so we finally get the 4-year-old who's learned that it really takes me about 10 minutes to get my way. And so I got to start when we walk into the store. And for all the time you're going through that store, this child is bullying his mother. Because he knows that eventually he's going to get his way, because mother is more willing to teach him, train him up to be a bully, than she is to spend the time, energy, and perseverance to nip it in the bud. You see, the way we treat others comes back at us. If we love our children, we nip those bad things in the bud. That child thinks they can throw a tantrum? No, they can't throw a tantrum. They're done. That's it. I will never, ever give up to that child because of a tantrum. And neither should your spouse. Because when you get married, the two become one. And the front that you give to your children is singular, not divided. Okay, but it comes back to Jesus' teachings. You treat somebody, the golden rule, as you want them to treat you. So do you want your children to grow up to be bullies and to bully you? No, you don't. So you treat them in a loving manner that teaches them that that way doesn't work. Now, the hard part of these lessons is that it doesn't happen overnight. It takes perseverance. It takes support by other people. A spouse, a friend that says, hang in there, you can do this. And one thing about Jesus' ministry is that he was consistent. We had it in Matthew. We have it in Luke. You can go through his entire ministry. And Jesus always taught the golden rule. Now, you say, oh, wait a minute. I can think of a couple times when he got pretty angry. Yeah, and he did that for a purpose too. Because he wanted people to understand that anger has its place. The Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. You see, there's a difference between being angry and sinning. And so take that to be part of our lives. So, there's that verse. Luke 6:31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Remember that other verse? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is one of those you hide in your heart. And every time you have an interpersonal relationship, Jesus is telling us, treat them like you want to be treated. Can you imagine what our community would be like if everyone in it treated everyone else the way they want to be treated? Wow. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's pray together. Oh, dear God, you are so good to us. You've set the standards. You've said, don't do this, don't do that. But you've also said, do this. And Jesus walked this earth and showed us how. And you send us out, not to be don't doers, but to be doers. To be your representatives. To be the models, the mentors in this community that our children need, that our other adults need. To be the encouragement that says, you can do this. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Make us into those encouraging people that our community needs. Help us to be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.